Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 145 of the New Testament. Hear now the words from the Apostle Paul. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there a violation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us move on to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13, following verses 18 through 26. If you'd like to read along as I read it, it is on page 8 of your New Testament Pew Bible. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And when Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I want to call your attention to the first part of that scripture from Matthew, which had to do with Matthew, the tax collector, being called. And I'd like to set up for you just a hypothetical situation, a what if. Suppose one Sunday, while we were all here worshiping God, that back door opened in the middle of the service, and in walked Jesus himself. And Jesus walks down the aisle, pushes me aside, and goes up to the pulpit. And once we had all calmed down and quieted down, Jesus made this statement. "My brothers and sisters, I want all of you to stand up. And then I want all of you who are sinners to come and stand over on this side of the church. And I want everyone else to walk down and stand on this side of the church." Just suppose that were to happen. Just suppose Jesus came and asked us all to take our place. Where would you stand? On which side of the church would you go? Now, I don't want you to tell anybody what you choose. I don't want you to even think about that. I want to put it in the back of your mind and consider the question. Now, when you think about that hypothetical situation, you may see
the story of Jesus at Judgment Day separating the sheep from the goats. And I must admit, as I thought about this scripture lesson, I had echoes of that image in my mind as well. But for this morning, I want you to think about another metaphor, another image that perhaps is a little more timely. How many of you folks read the newspaper on a daily basis? Okay, me too. I read the newspaper almost every day. I like to get my news there. You know, every once in a while, about once a week, I find myself turning to the society page. Do you ever go to the society page? Well, invariably what I see there on that page is photographs of people, rich and famous people, looking well-dressed. Invariably, they have just given thousands of dollars to some local charity. Sometimes you see the couple there standing, beautiful broad smiles, on the arm of a politician or perhaps a sports hero. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know many people like that. I'm sure they're wonderful folks. I'm not saying that at all. But they are not usually in the echelon of people that I spend my time with. I can't say that that's the kind of folks that I interact with on a daily basis. Perhaps you do. But then if you look at the rest of the newspaper, Jane and I were talking about this just last week, it seems like the entire rest of the newspaper has different people described. Have you read the columns or the little blurbs that talk about the folks who have been recently convicted of murder? Folks who have been caught stealing money or stealing material out of a store. Folks, politicians who've taken bribes for political influence. People who are on the sexual offenders list. It seems like the entire rest of the newspaper is committed to those kind of people. Again, I don't know that those are the folks that I spend a lot of time with, that is not the people with whom I interact on a daily basis. Now, don't get me wrong. I am really trying hard not to judge anyone. Jesus tells us that judgment is not ours, but rather God's to do. And yet, I think all of us must realize that we have biases. We have prejudice about people. And so we can't help making decisions about people that we meet or people we read about. I think it's probably just human nature. I'm a regular guy, just like anybody else, and I find myself making decisions about people and about myself. And it makes me wonder, I don't feel like I'm part of either of those folks, the folks that I read about on the society page, nor do I feel like I'm part of the police blotter. And yet, maybe if I were true and honest to myself, I would recognize that I am part of both of those groups. Goats and sheep, sinners and saints, you and me, where do we fit? When I think about what Jesus said, when I think about Jesus eating with tax collectors and prostitutes, with folks who stole, I don't consider myself part of that group. And yet, I think about Jesus calling Mary or Moses or Abraham, and I don't consider myself part of that group either. When you look around and you think about the United Methodist Church, as people look at different Christian denominations, I have heard it said that the United Methodists have kind of a skewed view of God. People say, oh, the Methodists are always talking about grace. They're always talking about unearned and unmerited grace. The Methodists, they believe in cheap grace because you don't earn it. And I have to admit, we United Methodists certainly spend a lot of time talking about God's grace and God's love and God's goodness. But don't get me wrong on this either. We believe firmly in judgment and in evil and in the pervasive nature of sin. Sin is here. Sin is everywhere. Sin is evil, and sin is that which separates us from God. By one simple definition, any time that we knowingly do something or forget to do something that keeps us from bringing about the will of God, that is sin. Sin can be an act of commission, something you do. Sin can be an act of omission, something you forget to do. But by whatever name, sin is that which we knowingly do that keeps us from bringing about the kingdom of God right here and right now. Am I a sinner? You bet I'm a sinner big time. Are you a sinner? I'm going to leave that between you and the Lord. But think about who Jesus calls, whom Jesus spends His time with, whom Jesus is found in the company with, and maybe there's a symbol there. I tell you, I can almost guarantee that as you open your morning paper, you will never see me on the society page. Unless Jane remarries some rich man, it ain't going to happen. But I hope and pray that you never read my name on the list of convicted murderers. It's just not that simple. It's not that clear cut. Sinners and saints, goat and sheep, you and me, yes and yes. Is ours a God of judgment or is ours a God of grace? Yes and yes. Are we sinners? Or are we people who believe through our faith that God can make us better people, that God can change us? Yes and yes. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have been called to call not the righteous, but sinners. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is calling all of us. Let us respond in grace. Amen.